Welcome to the Iron Wales podcast, proudly brought to you by Be Excellence, as part of our unwavering dedication to inclusive media. On this podcast, we shine a spotlight on the remarkable individuals who proudly call Wales their home, from visionary business owners to gifted creatives and all those who inspire us with their stories. We celebrate their contributions to shaping Wales into the diverse and vibrant nation it is today. So whether you're tuning in from the bustling streets of Cardiff, the picturesque landscapes of Snowdonia, or anywhere else on the globe, join us as we explore the rich tapestry of Welsh culture, creativity, and innovation.
My name is Bablu. I am a presenter and content creator. I'm doing air quotes right now because I'm very early on in my career. But yeah, I'm a presenter. So I work for radio platform and The Sprout, so I kind of make a lot of, like, in terms of content creation, kind of like self-help and like,
okay. Oh yeah, I've seen that actually.
Yeah, you see that?
Come up on my feed, I follow you. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, what's Babs doing? Like, oh, Babs, oh,
where are
you?
Like,
he gets about.
Yeah, well, I like to say, like a lot of people ask about, like, when I say content creation, a lot of people think I just do silly things, which I do. I like to say it's a good mixture between goofy and wholesome.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good in between.
So I like what you said in your bio. You like to do, it's all about laugh, life, and
my work / life motto is laugh, learn, and inspire. Well, okay. Hopefully inspire one day. That's kind of my goal.
Listen, you're inspiring every day. So, you know, it's just who you are, isn't it?
I'm
inspire
trying.
People is that you don't have to achieve a certain level of accolades to be able to be an inspiration.
I know,
it
but
really
I just
who you are.
I don't know. I feel like there's a long way to go. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I've got a.
But you know, true people who are inspired don't know they're an inspiration. Mm. You know, you just do your thing and you just follow your purpose and you're authentic about it. Mm. And people see that and they see that as inspirational. But yeah, I get told I'm inspirational all day and I'm just like, I just do my thing and that's it. You know, if it helps somebody, it's great, isn't it? But
you
don't
you.
Set out to be it. Just be yourself and be authentic.
I appreciate it. Bless you now.
I think being authentic always shines through, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, do you know radio platform? I was going to say Cardiff. Then does it go outside of the Millennium Centre?
It,
or not?
As in what, like live radio?
Yes.
No, we don't. We're not on like live radio, but we do have a stream that people can listen to on their phones, on their tablets, laptops, computers, whatever.
Right.
And then we also have a Mixed Cloud where, like, if people miss the show, they can listen back to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's really good. Do you know how many listeners you have?
It varies on the show.
Yeah, but are you able to, like, gauge it because of the way you're using your platform? Because on here, we don't have that kind of kit. We don't know how many listeners. We roughly think
there is. There anybody out there? Are you listening?
Message me.
Message the radio.
Well, I know my mum's listening and my dad listens, so I know they're listening. And my girls have listened once or twice. But
hi.
So, yeah.
Hi, parents. Thank you.
Apart from that, I know Ricardo's listening as well. But yeah, we don't know. And I really annoys me. I want to know. I want to know if it's going up, or going down. Are we annoying people? Are they loving it? I don't know. So
Are we annoying you? 07365.
Yeah, watch the floods of texts come in now. Go, yeah, get off. But yeah, I'd love to know. So I think, do you think streaming is a really good way of doing it?
What, to find out listeners?
Yeah, to find out what's going on. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's so many different sites. I think so. We use Mixcloud, which is kind of like a. So it does say how many people have listened to that show.
Right,
it's quite popular, that, isn't it?
Mixcloud, yeah. So it's a mix of like, but and if you play music, you pay a fee and it covers all the royalties and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's.
Yeah, we may need to look into that.
Yeah.
We need to step it up a gear, I think. But yeah, so, okay, so how long have you been at Radio Platform?
Okay, so in the job role, 10 months.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then officially, like, as a member since January 2022.
So tell us how it works, because member and job. Yeah.
Cool, cool. This is part
what
of my job.
What is Radio Platform?
Radio Platform is a youth-led radio station, so it's where I work, and it's for young people, led by young people. So we do a bunch of, like, accredited courses in radio broadcast and presenting. It's a level 3. But young people also get a chance to create shows and go to events and yeah, get press passes and kind of gain experience and opportunities. So hence why I worked there now. So I did the course in January, and I was so as you can tell, I'm very eager just to get involved. So I did the course, finished in January, and I was just like, give me every opportunity that you have.
I love that. That's the Bangladesh
in it. Yeah, it's true. It is. Yeah, we work lots of jobs. That's good. But then the job roles came about. So good thing about Radio Platform, when you're 18 plus and you've been involved with Radio Platform for more than, I want to say, 6 months, then you'll be eligible for the job roles. And it's a 1 year vacancy. So every 1 year there'll be a new turnover.
So the training is 6 months, did you say?
No. The training is 6 weeks or 2 days.
Six weeks.
And then you said at the end of that you get the opportunity to do what?
Well, you get loads of opportunities. So they'll put out call outs, so stuff like TEDx, with other events and companies and organizations saying, hey, can we come through and do a couple of interviews or whatnot? And it kind of gives people a chance to,
awesome.
Yeah. We teach all the basics of radio broadcast and presenting. So we teach you how to present, how to use the studio, how to use equipment, how to deliver a news piece, how to record a podcast on your phones.
Did you get the so is it accredited, but who has written the course, where does that
come from? It's been a mixture of people from Promo Cymru and people at the World's Millennium Centre.
Can you buy it?
Can you buy the course?
Yeah. So could I run that course, the same course? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. We're in partnership with a college, so I'm not too sure. That's probably out of my...
So your course is also popular, very popular, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess it's quite hard to get on it, or no, is a waitlist.
There is a waitlist. It does fill up quite.
How many people do you take at a time?
We've upped it to 20 now.
So 20 people every few weeks, every 6 to 7 weeks, you have an intake.
So every 6. So right now I'm doing we just finished the course last week. We had a break this week because I went to Hay Festival, and then we're back again.
Oh, cool! How was Hay Festival?
Hay Festival was amazing.
Yeah, I bet that was amazing. I've never been, but I've heard, and it's massive now, isn't it?
Yeah, huge. It was cool. I went over to deliver some workshops and to create some lovely pieces of content.
Amazing.
Yeah. just meeting people.
Great job.
Yeah. Oh, well, I love it. While everyone else was like going to talks, I was like, I want to talk. I don't want to listen. I was just chilling in this green room, just trying to find and connect with different people. I met a bunch of book talkers, so they were quite cool. They're meant to be really big, so I was like, oh cool, nice
book
to meet.
Talkers,
yeah, because there's music talk, there's book talk.
Well, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Can you go back to the course a minute, and then we can talk about Hay, because she loves festivals.
Yeah.
But I want to know more about the course. So you said you just finished one. What happens next?
Once you finish, then you're officially a member. So you get all the perks of going to all the events we go to. So for example, we went to London Podcast Festival, Focus Wales, which is an international music festival, London Podcast Show, Radio Academy. We get all press passes. If you're into theatre or
WNR. Where'd you get a press pass from?
Well, we're part of the world's. We're part of World's Millennium Centre, so we can get that.
So you get the press passes to go into those events in the World's Millennium Centre or external as well.
Well, if we ask, we can sometimes get.
Okay. And who's running this, Jason?
Who runs Radio Park? Yeah. So us young people run it.
Oh.
But
who's managing it then?
Who's managing Radio Platform?
Yeah. Who's the big cheese.
The big works is Jason oversees the whole of creative learning.
Right.
So that's everything. That's Youth Collective, Makerspaces, Radio Platform, and all everything else.
Oh, wow.
And underneath them is us.
Cool. Tell us all about Sprout.
The Sprout is cool. So the Sprout is targeted towards young people. So it started off as a blog. So like an educational blog for like young people and like a helpline. So anyone kind of between the ages of, again, I think it's 11 to 25 again. No, actually, I think it's 30.
Oh,
it's, okay. It's a helpline for all. So it's just like, whether it be uni stress, exam stress, problems at home. It's in conjunction with, it's another helpline there in conjunction with. But yeah, it's just kind of like a one-stop thing for young people. So it started off as a blog and then it transitioned into social media and TikTok and that kind of stuff.
So for young people to ask questions about stuff?
Well, yeah, they can. There's a helpline, okay. So it's totally anonymous. Wow. So they can go on the website and kind of look at all the blogs. So again, it's young people have also... Mm. written on it as well, mm-hmm. to share their experiences. Sometimes it might be anxiety, mental health, whatever it may be, or mm-hmm. it might be something quite niche, like I don't know, like personal problems that people want to share. Mm. But it's like a platform for like people to kind of share and relate to other young people.
I know you're not the voice for young people. No, because it's like when we have someone in and you go, and you know, as a black guy, and it's like, oh, well, tell us about this. And like, well, I'm going to speak to everybody.
You have to
be aware that you're not speaking on behalf of everybody. But through your work, what kinds of themes or topics do you feel that young people are talking about? What's important to them?
Oh, that varies. I can say what I like talking about. What other young people talk about, it really depends, doesn't it? I'm quite... I don't know. I'm like young, but like I kind of have an old soul, I think.
Mm.
I think I'm very... like there's no in-between with me. I'm very goofy and cheesy. Or I'm very like philosophical and like, oh, we need to do this to change the world and inspire people.
I think that's why you connect, like Tyler really connected with you, because he's similar,
Yeah, so, but other young people, I don't know, they like dancing and stuff. I like dancing, but not very well. But I don't know, I think, you know what, with young people, the way I see it is you just need someone to connect with them. When I was a young person, so for me, like everything I do, I want to be everything I didn't have. That's kind of my, like, that's why I have that motto that I do. And with young people, you just need someone to connect to them. Mm-hmm. I think if you want young people to change the world and inspire and be like standout citizens, then you need to reach it to them in a way that appeals to them. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean, so sometimes standing in a classroom and telling them, hey, you need to do this, that won't work.
No.
But making a music workshop that relates to stories that relate to them, whether it be home or social injustice or anything like that, that might resonate with them. Or it might be a radio podcast, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just something like the arts, I was saying before, like I always say to people that I have serious conversations, the arts, like my drama teacher literally changed my life.
Wow.
Like I was a very, very, very annoying child. Very annoying.
What school did you go to?
I went Cantonian.
Okay, tell us that story about your drama teacher.
My drama teacher, bless her. If she ever somehow was listening, Miss Lynch, I love you. But basically, I was exactly the same as I was now. I was in class and I would just chat to everyone. I was the class clown. I just wanted to make everyone laugh. And my teacher was just like, right, let's do something productively here. If you want to make the class laugh, go in front of the class and come up with a skit and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I quite enjoy this, you know, like this is cool. And it was like, it was that platform to kind of just be me.
Yeah,
I wasn't pigeonholed to be the smartest. I wasn't pigeonholed to do this or da-da-da. She was just like, be you, do you know what I mean? And it was just like, it was great. And then from that point on, I was like, yeah, the art is for me, and I can really do something about this.
And those teachers are unique, aren't they? You know, I think that's so important to come from a place of where meeting where the young people are. You can't try and fit them into a box to get their certain levels of education. Mm. Not everybody learns like that.
Yeah. I didn't realise I was dyslexic till after I finished uni. But they used to take us to extra maths class, right? I was so unaware. But in this class, they used to take us to this class, and up on the wall there used to be all these famous people with dyslexia. I was like, why are we in this class? What even is it? And then I didn't realise till later on that it was because of that. But I think that helped me. Not knowing. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that helped me.
Could put a label on it, can't you?
Kind of
limits you.
Yeah, 100%.
You either overcome that and use a superpower, I think is my superpower, or you can see it as like a limiting thing. Yeah. I can't do that because I'm dyslexic.
But back to young people, I think Like, I think there's this thing about, like, people not reaching out to young people. Like, oh, they do this and they do that. And I think one of the first things is realizing that, like, everyone has a different struggle. Like, like, empathy is so important. Mm-hmm. Like, and just because a lot of people be like, your struggle's not even that thing. But for them, they've not had a struggle like you. So that struggle is so severe for them, do you know what I mean? And then the second one is just kind of just, like, understanding and relating to them. I think, like, with young people, they're cool. They just want to be, like, you know, understood, you know. So
do you think a lot of young people feel misunderstood?
100%.
Yeah,
100%. I've always been, like, for me, I mean I'm 23, so I'm still under that bracket. But
just
I'm getting on. I think that's what it is. And a lot of the times you're told to listen, and you're told to behave, and told to be a certain way.
I personally think it's the other way around. Like, in some, you know, like, I think that we can learn so much from young people. And I always feel like, being a mum as well, like, I always feel like I've learned so much from Tyler.
Absolutely.
Like he teaches me all the time. I think, oh my God, you're light years ahead of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Yeah. But that's what's kind of brilliant, because I think a lot of times we, like, especially going into school and whatever, you learn something and it's not really a chance for you to kind of say what you want or learn what you want. It's like, if you're wrong, you're wrong. But in life, is if you're wrong, you're learning.
That's so true. School is very rigid. It's either yes or no, you know, right or wrong, like you said. But in life, that it is just so much more open to make. I call them mistakes, not mistakes.
Mistakes.
You know?
I like that. Yeah.
You're into motivation. I saw on your Instagram. Tell me a little bit about that.
I have a series called Monday Motivation. So again, along the line with my life, a lot of the stuff I create is along that life motto of laugh, learn, and hopefully one day inspire. So
sorry, can we just stop saying that?
Yeah,
you're already inspiring. Jess, do you find them inspiring?
Yeah, I think what you're doing is. I think when I always see a human being, I just know there's a lot. It's just what you see is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
So I know that underneath there's a lot more.
Yeah.
There, you know, it's gonna come, and that you're growing and you're evolving.
Absolutely.
Like, we all are.
So I don't want to hear that anymore. I want to hear the three words together: inspire. Life, learn, inspire.
Yeah.
Say that again. So you do a Monday motivational platform, and it's called what? Sorry.
So it's called, the series is called Monday Motivation.
Yeah.
But the tagline is laugh, learn, inspire.
Wow.
It's humility, I understand it, but
at the end of the day, we can all inspire. I think people inspire on a daily basis without even realizing it.
But I just feel like I got so much more to do. I know I'm taking this very deep, but I've got so much more to do. A place where I can inspire on a bigger impact.
Yeah, but you're inspiring now.
But you've got that kind of passion, so it'll happen.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Hopefully it will.
So Monday Motivation. So usually I take a topic. And that usually is personal to me, that I've lived through or someone else has been through. That's something personal to me. And it's to help people, motivate people, and kind of help them in some kind of way. So I recently went to a college, and they invited me to talk. And I did two talks. One of them was on self-doubt, and one of them was about bravery versus courage.
Fantastic. Mm. So when you just said there you've been invited, do you think then, because I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a sense of imposter syndrome
No, it's not imposter syndrome, it's more so
because you're talking about self-doubt, and you go into university or school, whatever you went, to talk about, you know,
self-doubt.
But then really,
well,
you have self-doubt in
so
a sense.
When I did so I did have self-doubt, so there was points in, well, like, respectfully, a lot of people from my community, especially in Wales, are not around. And if they are, there's only three or four. So I know Maria, Jesse, and Janat. Is someone else? Oh, and Jaffrin. And they're all, like, they all either have their businesses or book poetries or whatever, but in terms of presenters, I'm not too sure. And first of all, shout out to them. But when I first started out, I was like, why am I getting this opportunity? Am I getting it because I'm good, or is it because of something else? And then, but in terms of self-doubt, it's like me, I'm a very, very, very self-assured person most of the time. And I'm such a dreamer. Like, I'm the type to, like, in the shower, I imagine myself on, like, Graham Norton show getting interviewed.
Amazing. Do you know what I mean? I love no,
but you know what I mean?
I do that.
But there was a time where...
Okay, what's he asking you? What are you on there for? Who are you at that point?
I don't know.
No, seriously, manifestation is so important,
I've won an award.
You won an award for speaking into my
I'm just there. I'm just.
Do you know the universe gets very confused if we're not specific?
Yeah.
We're very wishy washy. We go, yeah, I'm just going to. I write things down, right? I used to do it every night in bed, but now I lost because I was busy. But I started doing it again, and I'm not joking you. I'm 99% of the time, everything I want comes true.
Yeah.
99% of the time.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I used to have this massive whiteboard where I have my life goals for the year. So, like, this is what I want. Like, I'd have my mental, my physical, and my external goals that I'd have. And
love that.
Oh, that's lovely.
So far, it's good.
But you've got to be very specific. You can't just say goals. You've got to go, what are those goals?
Yeah.
And keep it small first. Go, right, over the next 3 months, I'd like to achieve getting up by whatever time. Consistently.
100%.
I would like to, and it's just like testing to see if it works. There's nothing like to, you know.
Well, my next talk is probably going to be on opportunities. A lot of people I've spoken to a lot of people and they're always like, oh, why didn't I get this or why didn't I get that and stuff like that. And I was thinking to myself, but why do you deserve it? What have you done that's differently? And opportunities.
And how do you serve? I really think you give. When you give, you get back.
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. Like, because opportunities don't fall to you. Opportunities come by you constantly knocking on the right
and
doors.
And also looking for them.
Yeah.
And recognizing them. Yeah. It's hard to recognize opportunities sometimes.
Well, this is what I mean. Like, firstly, you need to make yourself an asset. Like, how. Because eventually, no matter who you are, we're all assets at one point.
Yeah.
Like, companies or organizations, they're going to want to invest in you in some type of way. Now it might be like, if you're a creative or something like that, it might be in your artwork or your craft. If you're a businessman or whatever, it might be your skills in terms of mathematical situations, anything. You're an asset, but how can you provide to that person, Jeremy, or that organization? So you need to realize that and kind of improve on your skill set. If that's just your one thing, then you need to broaden that. And the second thing is, opportunities, they won't fall to you. It's that you need to be in the right places and constantly knocking on the right doors and just constantly work on yourself and how to improve yourself in different aspects. Like, if there's a certain skill set that you're not necessarily that equipped at, learn it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't start out to be an editor or anything like that, but I know how to edit. I've learned how to edit. I learned how to create. I learned how to storyboard and storytell and all that kind of stuff. So it's just about even talking. I've always been a chatterbox, but being able to talk to different people and learn how to conduct yourself positively in a certain way that appeals to everyone, that's a skill in itself. Yeah. So it's just, I think that's how opportunities come to you. They don't fall to you. You make them.
Yeah.
You create them. They don't come to you. You create them.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. I think life happens to you, really. You know, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you, and it is up to you how you create that life. You know, you can create the most beautiful life for yourself, but it's the decisions you make, isn't it? It's the sum of the decisions you make which creates the wonderful life that you can have if you want it.
I feel like we're in a really good place in Wales. Like, I know so many creatives and artists, and the way I see it, if they win, I win.
Absolutely. That's the way we go together.
Yeah,
we go together or not at all.
It's just like naturally you, and the way we're collaborating right now, if someone sees someone else's work and they've connected this and they've connected them, and the amount of people that I've met and they know a mutual of a mutual, and they're like, what? Yeah, we went to primary school together. You went primary school? Yeah, crazy. So it's just.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
No, you're absolutely right. There's amazing things going on in Wales at the moment.
Absolutely. It's so positive as well. That's why I like highlight community stuff, because there's so much great things happening.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Do you think the media has like a massive, like, I've heard this really great saying, and I I say it all the time. I didn't coin it. It was from, you know, the Meghan and Harry documentary. And someone on there said that the British media are the biggest I can never say this word. Attributors. My gosh, he is dyslexic.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, the British media are the biggest attributors to public persuasion and opinion, right? They are, and they have been.
Yeah.
Do you think that's starting to, that control and that power is starting to come away from them with all these different projects,
well,
like media projects?
I always speak to other creatives, especially from like BAME communities. Mm-hmm. And I always say, for people to create their own media. It's so important to stand alone and create your own stuff. Yeah. It's great working with other people and collaborating. That's amazing. Mm. But you also need to stand alone and show what you actually represent.
Yeah, and what you want to talk about as
Isn't it? Yeah, because sometimes you might go somewhere and they might clip up something that doesn't fully resonate with your character or personality, and then that's taken out of context.
Mm.
So it's important to have a standalone platform for yourself.
Yeah, I think I think the media have played a massive part in this continued idea of racism, and not idea, it's real, but I think they've had a massive
100%
part in, you know, in keeping that conversation
going. Yeah, it goes
all
the way to the top.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because the things they choose to report, we're seeing lots of people of colour in really positive role, positions, and on the front cover of Vogue, and having these really great opportunities on TV and stuff. But it's so obvious that it's a tick box thing.
Yeah.
But then they're damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't, isn't it? So, you know, they've got to do something.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, it's about what you choose to report on and what you're interested in.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in a particular, if you're, you know, a particular race or person or whatever, and you're going to go to what interests you. And if 95% of the media is white, guess what? 95% of the media reporting is going to be white.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go with what they know and what they're into and what they're interested in. You know, and the only time they're going to come to the other is when there's something horrendous, like a riot or crime or something really bad happening.
Yeah.
It's very rare. Oh, let's big up that amazing British actress who's just got this, you know. It's never really like that. It's always about negative stuff. And by us creating our own media, we've taken that power back, I think.
100%.
Yeah.
But I then agree totally.
There is that issue of, like, you know, when you look at the social media, the clickbait and all of that, because naturally people click on negative things more, so then they get bigger and then they go into the algorithm, and there is that side to it as well.
Yeah. And I do feel that a lot of the people, because I commented yesterday on, you know, this situation with the boys in Ely, and one of them was a family member of mine, and so I had, on one hand, I had a family member on Facebook telling me that they've just, you know, they're devastated, and then next minute this, people are posting stuff online. So it was like, this to me is very real. Like, I'm not just scrolling and clicking yes, you know, commenting. This is very real. So I was trying not to be kicking off basically at people, because they were writing really crappy things, and I'm just like, oh my god, all you're doing is blaming teenage boys. All they're doing, oh well, if they did, oh well, you know. It's like, oh my god, don't you think they paid with the biggest price, like, literally? And stop deflecting, because what we do now is just go, oh, sweep that one into the carpet, next story. No, we need to find out why that happened, how that happened, and okay, they had a part to play in it, but the responsibility of the adults and the profession involved in that also have a responsibility, and we have to look into that. And because we're not, because we're like, oh, it's just so much easier just to go, oh well, they should have done this. Yeah. End of. I've got my comment. Yeah. I'm sick of people just commenting for the sake of commenting, is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's really frustrating. And it just frustrates me.
That's actually something I'm really, really passionate about in terms of young people and them, like, other people assuming that they've chosen a lifestyle. But what they don't realize is nothing like stuff like media or jobs or doctors, they don't see that. People are a product of their environment.
Absolutely.
Because their environment is what they see.
Yeah.
And if they don't see someone that represents them on the media, on the news, or if they don't see local doctors that look like them or come from their area or anything like that, then they're not going to feel like they can do it.
Yeah.
So it's, I've only realized in the last year how important representation is.
Absolutely. And this is what
And it's great. And it's like, so a person of colour, that I didn't realize how important it was. And it was just like, it's so important, because that, because you live vicariously. Like, when you're a kid, you want to be like your heroes, right? And if your heroes don't come from where you come from, then you're not going to think you can do it. And this goes to anything. It doesn't have to be in the media industry. It can be doctors, it can be lawyers, it can be mechanics, it can be, you know, do you know what I mean? It can be business owners.
You need those role models.
You need role models. You need people to come into your community and talk and speak. And you need to show young people that, look, he's from so-and-so, she's from so-and-so, they're from so-and-so. They're like you. They had this upbringing, but they still managed to persevere. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's like... yeah, I think we need to do more.
I think it's a massive responsibility on somebody to go back and give back. So if you've made it, then you have to go back and do that.
And
you know, some people don't. They think, you know, so our TEDx was called Representation Matters. And then as I was journeying, because that's what my BX is all about, raising representation.
Yeah.
And I look for opportunities for that.
Yeah.
But then as I was going through all of this as well, that I came across one or two people that didn't really represent. And I'm like, okay, it matters. But to who? Who does it matter to? Because I know a lot of people in certain positions who don't give back, who don't care about their communities, even local communities, never mind the you know, culture that they belong to.
Yeah.
Because it's that crabs in the bucket idea of like, I've made it, there's only one opportunity, I'm not looking back.
I think
that that's why whenever we've had an insurgent, and not just in Wales, in the whole of the UK, when there's been a race issue, we've always had a lot of funding thrown at the issue. A lot of great initiatives have happened, but they haven't been sustainable.
Yeah.
And that's because people have set them up, right, we've got this opportunity, and they haven't brought people in. They haven't looked behind them and brought people in. They haven't collaborated.
Yeah.
So what we've got to do now in this season, with this funding and with this opportunity, is ensure that we are building something that's self-sustainable, so we don't rely on funding just in case the funding goes. And we're also bringing in everybody and collaborating, because without it, we will not change anything. You know, we've got to collaborate and we've got to bring people behind. So where you are now and what you're doing, you could go back to your local primary school and, you know, even in primary, they're going to look at you and think, oh, I can be like him. honestly, you need to go back to your... It's powerful.
It's
powerful.
In a couple of years. When I can talk to them about life and I thought about this the other day, actually. If I go back to a school, I'm not going to talk about me. Because that's me telling my story. It's not me telling my story.
But that's how they relate to you.
No. Mm-hmm. It's about me. It's about them creating their story. It's not about me.
Love that.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
so you go there as a content creator and you set and you teach them around how they create.
Because like, if I go and say, hey, because when I was in school, certain people be like, I did this and I did that. That's great, but we all have different struggles and obstacles and stories. Do you know what I mean?
I love that.
So if I go to a school, I really thought I'm not gonna talk about me. I'm not gonna say, hey, I did. If they wanna ask me afterwards and say, hey, what did you do? Cool, 100%. But at the end of the day, it's about me setting like lessons and things for young people to be like, okay, this is what you can do to create your own, because everyone has a different path. Do you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
It's like,
I love that creating your own story, and they've got a story to tell, and you've got one, even though you haven't reached where you want to be.
I'm still young, I'm learning.
Gosh, you don't understand that you still have a lot to give. You don't have to get to a certain, you know, whatever it is you're trying to aspire to in terms of like income or, you know, qualifications or whatever. You could go there now, and already where you are now is inspiring enough for them. Honestly.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. Don't waste time. Just go back to school.
I will. I want to go to schools anyway and deliver talks. But yes, like I said before, everything I do is kind of like, I want to be everything I didn't have. Do you know what I mean? So like, I look at the young kid in me that was a bit lost, a bit like, where's my people to kind of help me? And there have been people that helped me along the way, but I had to go find it.
Yes.
But with young people, is they're not gonna, unless they're really eager, they're not gonna find it. You need to give it to young people, and then they can decide for themselves.
What was your experience of Cantonian like?
Mine.
I love my school, man.
I love everyone there. I love all my teachers.
That's amazing. And do you know what? All the kids I speak to say the exact same thing.
I love my school. Obviously, I had some difficulties. I was one of the only like people of color. Like, literally the only one. Like, there was one me and then one other mixed race boy. That was it.
It's very diverse now.
Very diverse. Yeah, now, but back in the day it wasn't, and it was yeah, obviously I've had my struggles in terms of racism and stuff like that, and I was like, I was on the football team, so it was weird because I grew up with being called the P word and the N word.
Me too.
Yeah.
Can I high five you then? Sorry, because I did. Me too. I was confused. I was like, what am I?
Yeah, you know? Well, this is what I mean. And it was just like, even like, towards.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it was. But obviously, like, I'm so thankful for all the stuff that I went through.
Me too.
And lessons that I've learned, and the people I've met, and the teachers who gave me their time of day. Even the teachers who didn't give me their time of day. I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah, everyone's, all the kids I speak to love Canto. Yeah, well, it's got a certain vibe in there, isn't it?
Well, I think high school's lessons, it's just like, I've learned so much, and it's, I think for me, it was just about surviving. But like, as I got older, I was, it got easier.
I think it's changed a little bit, though. When we were talking earlier about youth workers and teachers, I think that's what they've got going on. They've got this really good balance of bringing in people who have youth work experience, so they're not like the real authoritarian kind of, you know, they're more motivators, and I think that's what they've got going on there. They've got this real great idea about restorical justice, but it's not between pupil to pupil, it's between pupil and teacher. So if anything happens, they have this kind of restorical justice session, which it makes the young person feel seen and heard and valid, validated, you know, whatever it is they're upset about, whatever they experience. And I think it just then allows the teacher for more understanding of that young person and what they're going through. And I think more schools need to adopt this model because it would be so much more helpful.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow us for more up-and-coming episodes as we continue to showcase the essence of I Am Wales. You can support more of our inclusive media work by going to www.beexcellence.co.uk. There you will find a link to Excellence Magazine and also our weekly radio show on Radio Cardiff, every Friday morning from 9 till 11 a.m. on 98.7 FM. Thanks again for listening.